afternoon. Welcome to the County Council meeting of October 1st, 2024. First things, approval of the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Mr. President, good afternoon, members of council. At this time, I see no recommended change to today's agenda.
Entertained motion to approve the agenda. Motion, Mr. Hudson, second. Mr. Schaefer, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer. Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson? Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Yeah, the minutes of September 4th. Any corrections, questions, additions? None, those stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have one note, and it's from the Delaware State University Band Organization, thanking the council for its donation.
Thank you. Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Now it's time for public comment. I'll speak to council up to 3 minutes. Anything that's on your mind that we have some control of, interest, anybody, Mr. Bynum, nobody signed up. That's always a good day. Operator, check online, please, for public comment.
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Thank you. We'll close public comment. Lawson.
All right, thank you, Vincent. First item on the agenda is a presentation by Mr. Mark Isaacs, Director of the Carville Research and Education Center. Dr. Isaacs, thanks for being here with us. You have to push the beat, please.
Thank you. Well, good afternoon, council members and the administrative team and the distinguished attorney Everett Moore. It was a pleasure to stand in front of you all and highlight how we have allocated and spent the resources that the council has provided to us this last fiscal year. I want to take an opportunity to introduce a colleague, Dr. Corey Whaley, who is our Sussex County Ag Agent, but he also serves as our Sussex County Extension Director. I asked Corey to join me today because, as you know, our complex out there is very unique, very diverse. You know, we serve as a Southern Delaware Agriculture Experiment for the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources at the University of Delaware. Under that umbrella, we have our cooperative extension, we have our Lasser Laboratory, and our research farms, the Thurman Adams Jr., and our Warrington farms, and we have an environmental poultry research house, the Hamilton Environmental Poultry Research House. A lot of activities, as you all are aware. So I wanted to take an opportunity, the $107,049 that the council provides every year when I get an opportunity to stand in front of you, delighted to, as a Sussex County born and raised young man, and Corey is as well, we take great pride in making sure that we're good stewards of the council's allocations and grant and aid. What we've been able to do, coupled with significant state funding and support from the Delaware Department of Ag, has really allowed Fairman Station to be at the cutting edge, not only just for Delaware, but the region, as well as even that. So we're doing some great things there. The $62,000, almost $600 that the council provides to support our Sussex Extension programs, they cover our agronomic, our vegetable research, we do fruit research, our 4-H youth development programs, our family health and well-being, and safety educational programs that we conduct there. The council also provides $23,000+ to support Sussex field crop research. And why is that important? Because there's a unique challenges that's special to Sussex County. One, I'll give you an example, nematodes, which is a microscopic soil parasite that we have to deal with in soybean production. And it's hard to get funding to be able to address some of these opportunities to manage some of the pests that we're dealing with. Also looking at varieties that are specific to our location, our geographic location as well. And so those funds are strong in those areas. Now, the council provides $10,000+ for our Lasser Laboratory and support of poultry research. I think you all are well aware. Our Lasser Lab serves as a state poultry diagnostic laboratory, which means every poultry farm that goes to processing, not house, but every poultry farm, undergo testing by our laboratory to be able to go to process. We are one of 60 National Animal Health Laboratory Network labs, something we're extremely proud of because it requires a rigorous annual testing or qualifications to be able to conduct the testing we do. The Another unique thing about our poultry laboratory is we're not only just doing laboratory testing for Delaware and Maryland, but Eastern Virginia, North Carolina, and as well as some samples from Georgia and Alabama. So laboratory is really getting known nationally for the quality of diagnostics that we do. And the support that you provide is again, critical to that. The greenhouse project that the council has provided funding for, want to give you an update on that. We are in the midst of, that's our big, if you want to call it our large capital project that we're working towards. We've got some significant support already from the state of Delaware, from some private philanthropy. So we're really excited about this opportunity. And the great thing that the council does, like you've done in the past for the Jones Hamilton Poultry House, for the Carville building, you know, your contributions to that is shows that state, private industry, private philanthropy, and coordination efforts, and that's always right. It shows the partnerships, which is what we're all about. So I want to thank that. We're in the midst of our first architecture rendering map. This price tag was close to about a $10 million, which is huge. So we are back at the table revisiting that on how we can scale that down, but still be able to meet our needs, not only now, but in the next 15 to 20 years. So we've got a team together that's looking at that. So we're actively engaging and things are moving forward on that. So I want to thank you on that. The last thing I want to mention is something that's near and dear to my heart and that you all have been really active on in starting that is our internship program, right? And, you know, I love kids, spent 30 plus years coaching kids and working closely with kids, not only just in high school, but at the collegiate level and helping them try to navigate what they want academically, but what they want to do professionally, where they want to career-wise. And, you know, you all started this, and that's something I want you to be really proud of, because in 2014, the council, you know, started the first money for our Sussex County intern program. Since then, we've had 50 interns. Now, they've not all been supported by the council, but you started the ball rolling. And we were able to take that, we've worked with private industry, we've worked with the state, we've sent students to Washington, D.C. I mean, it's an unbelievable, I can give you, if you're ever interested, the track record of this. The cool thing that's really unique about this internship program is it's got to be a student from Sussex County. And so today I got a video we're going to show you. Carson Mears, who's Rex Mears' grandson, Chip Mears' son, he was a recipient this year of the intern that you provided, and he got to spend time working with Helena, Helena Agri Services, which is in Bridgeville. And he's got a little video here we're going to try to show you.
My name is Carson Mears. I'm from Millsboro, Delaware, and I want to say thank you to all the members of the Sussex County Council for funding my internship at Helena Agri Enterprises. My main role this summer was to be an agronomy scout for the salesman, where I would go around to each and every individual farm and scout for the efficacy of the chemicals, pesticides, nutrients that they were selling to these farmers. And we'd also scout for external factors, such as nutrient deficiencies, pests, weeds, and almost anything unusual we would see. I would say my most memorable moment was doing a ride-along with a salesman, Rob Eckholm. We went down to Wimberley Farms near Pocomoke, Maryland, and he wasn't even there to sell them anything. He was just there to check up on his customer, which I learned in that moment was more than just a customer, it was his friend. It was really neat getting to see that it's more than just a business relationship, it's a friendship, and I really like the idea of that, and I hope to pursue a career in that. So with that being said, I would just like to say thank you again. I have been asked next back next year for the internship as well. So hopefully I can continue to do that with your support. Thank you.
He's a lot better looking than his dad.
Yeah.
Like mom.
Yeah. The neat thing about that too, so he did such a great job that he didn't mention this in there, that he's they want to hire him full-time when he's done.
Nice.
Which, you know, I think last year or the year before, the council's always asked me, okay, well, we provide this fund, so whatever happens, do any of these kids stay, right? They get these work-based learning opportunities. Are they ending up in the county contributing to or taxpaying dollars? Great news. Aaron Dole, who was a recipient last year of yours that did the video here, he's been hired full-time at Helena, and he's going to be working full-time in Bridgeville. So there's your first Sussex County intern that has been hired and going to be contributing taxpaying dollars to the county. And like I say, everything, we could not have expanded this internship program without the council being the leader in getting us rolling. So I want to thank you for that, because that's just an amazing opportunity for our youth and for agriculture. So with that, I'd be happy to entertain any questions that the council may have.
I think this council and previous council have done a lot of good with agriculture, concerned with Ag County. I think that, and we did that first internship, was a monumental move to assist youth in this county to hopefully learn and stay here in the ag industry. So that's awesome, I think. You know, I'm glad I was part of that from the beginning, and it was it turned out very well. I have a question, Mr. Jennings, I think. How much money are we into on this greenhouse thing?
This is the last year. It was 2 years.
And it was how much money?
It was $120,000 yes. Total.
60,000 for 2 years. 60 this year. Yes, 120.
But it sounds like your your project might be a little more than you
yes.
thought.
Yes. Well, we knew it was going to be a big ticket item, and it's like the council's done before. We certainly weren't expecting the council to be, you know, funding a huge portion of that. We were just trying to get the support, because what I do now is I go to the state and say, we've got the council support, we've got private philanthropy support. I will tell you, again, as a direct result of the internship, I had a young man that was an intern. Now, he wasn't in Sussex, but he interned with a company this year. They loved him as an intern, and the company says, I want to contribute to Carville. And he says, how can I do that? And I told him about our greenhouse project. And I, you know, we don't have a check in hand, but this is rolling. And, you know, and again, the cool thing is it started because he had a great intern and said, wow, this is really cool. Because I started by talking about how the council started this, and, you know, we're always looking for funds to support, you know, sure, work-based learning opportunities. And he said, no, I want to contribute to something capital there. Sure. So, and this is an individual that is not in Sussex County. So, again, you know, it's a great partnership. It's collaboration. And, you know, I want to thank you all for always being, you know, so supportive of everything we bring to you. And also, you know, knowing, and Corey and I are both, like I said, lifelong residents of Sussex. You know, we're very passionate about making sure that every penny that comes from the council stays in Sussex. You know, nothing goes north. It's all handled here.
We appreciate that.
And it will continue to be as long as I'm sucking oxygen.
Sure. And we do appreciate that very much. And the relationship we have with you guys out there in the council has been wonderful. And I would think as you move forward with this greenhouse project, yes, and you massage all these numbers, if there is a need, it's easy for me to say this now, I won't be here, but if there is a need, I would hope you would approach council and let them know that you have a need for additional funding. And I would hope that the next council would be recipient of that. You know?
Well, and I appreciate that. And certainly, you know, we will do that. The last thing I wanted to say is I wanted to thank, you know, you, Mike, and you, Cindy, for, you know, your service to the county and all you've done as council members. And, you know, thank you again, being a Sussex County resident, for everything you've done. And I know this is a very challenging role that each of you serve in, and you can't make everybody happy all the times. I deal with it day to day as well, but thank you for your public service.
Because thank you. A quick question.
We need that.
So. Mr. Riley.
We're at the Conservation District Board meeting last week, and we had discussions about, we were talking about reimbursement for cover crop, and the conversation got off into, there was some question about how many acres of farmland there are in Sussex County at this point, and we had a couple of numbers that were pretty far apart. We weren't exactly sure, and then we had some other numbers look like we are about the same as we have been historically, you know, but then there were some others that look like we've lost quite a bit. And I guess my question is, do you have any sense of, you know, how many acres are still in production in Sussex, and are we, have we lost a lot of ag land?
I'll say something, I'll let Corey chime in on this. We have lost some, I mean, obviously. But that's a national trend as well. And, you know, part of the challenge is the agriculture profitability, and that's something that we have to continue to elevate and make sure that we create a culture and an environment that agriculture flourishes, right? And I don't think any of that became as quickly evident until COVID hit, and there was a disruption in food supply, and yeah, people started realizing where their food comes from and how they get it, right?
Right.
You know, the ag farmland preservation has been huge in Delaware. Mm-hmm. You know, I myself have participated in the farmland preservation with my farm.
We have too.
And I think it's wonderful. I think it's a great opportunity to make sure that our, you know, we got to have agricultural land to be able to keep agriculture the number one industry. And I think everybody on the council knows that, right? You know, we have a lot of people that have moved here since COVID, and they, I don't think a lot of those individuals realize the number one industry in the state of Delaware is agriculture. It's not tourism, not yet.
Right.
Yeah. Agriculture. And it's important that we keep that. So we have lost some, but there's other parts of the country that have lost, I think, substantially a lot more acreage. I don't know the exact number. Do you, Corey?
Well, they were going to do some research and try to circle back to us and let us know if we could nail it down to a number.
Yeah.
But, you know, to your point about greenhouses, I do think greenhouses are a big part of the future, because there will be continued pressure on the ag acreage available. And so more intense means, you know, for example, the strawberry farm that's projected for over in the Bridgeville area is right. A good example of what could be in the future, I hope. And it's a way for farms to stay profitable.
Yeah, and the controlled environment, that greenhouse provides an opportunity to do controlled environment more conducive to growing specialty crops like strawberries and things like that, right? We're always going to need the grain for the poultry industry,
right,
for sure.
Right.
But this creates opportunities.
Right.
And with our proximity to D.C., Baltimore, Philly, you know, New York, I mean, you figure you can get the farthest ones, New York, 4 hours.
Right.
Well, that's why we're known as being an agricultural hub, because we can get fresh product to those cities,
right. Right?
And I think that's something that's very unique.
It is,
you know, and especially unique to this county, mm-hmm, you know, to have it.
So I could envision a time when farms start to diversify, just as we did once by adding a few chicken houses. You know, we may add a few greenhouses too, and, you know, continue to diversify what we're doing.
Yeah, and that's, and I appreciate you bringing that up, because that's something that's very important for us as a university. We need to make sure that we're doing the research with this so we're ahead of the curve, right, instead of being behind the curve when some of these businesses or our producers decide to go this route. You know, what kind of research have we done? And that's why it's very important to us to get this greenhouse facility built, because we don't have any kind of controlled. That's the one thing we do not have out there. That's, other than that, we're doing really, really good. But that's the thing that we're lacking, which is...
I think it's a big opportunity.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very much so. Yeah. Any other?
Council? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you again so much for all your support.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Okay, moving down the agenda. Next item is a update from the Sussex County Land Trust. We have a couple of items that we will require council action on. But before we do that, I would invite representatives from the Land Trust to come forward. Mr. Chura and Mr. Lardner are both here representing the Land Trust. I believe they have a presentation for us, and then we'll get to a couple of the pending votes underneath the update. So welcome, Mark. Thanks for being here.
Thank you all. We always appreciate the opportunity to update council on our activities, and as always, appreciate you as a partner. We cannot do the work that we do without your support and help. So, that one there. Okay, we have a brief presentation to give you, to update you on our latest. Some of these you've seen before. This is an update of a presentation that we did several months back for some of you. We have a lot of properties across the state. We have 13, and in partnership with you and others, we're looking to acquire more. We'll talk about that a little bit later. What we wanted to focus on today is a quick update on our parks and preserves throughout the county, and we want to focus particular attention on these five properties. Hudson Park, which is on the eastern side on Route 9, halfway between Lewis and Georgetown. On the trail there, you see Route 9 to your left. We have a master plan for that property that we've been working to implement now for the last couple of years. Since we last talked, we've had a good summer relative to this park being open. It's really the first one that we've had where we've had people in the park. And if you drive by, we've been really pleasantly surprised. On any day, you may see 3-5 more cars there on the weekends. This is really being used now as a trailhead for folks in that area. We've also added security cameras so we can monitor activity and make sure that we're keeping folks safe. We are currently if you've noticed, our parking lot, we paved that earlier this year. So the first part of that has been paved. We've done, in cooperation with the Department of Agriculture, a reforestation along the woods line there. And this fall, we're going to add a few more amenities for that trailhead. We want to add a bike fix-it station, some picnic tables, and some other amenities for folks, because it is being actively used now by the public. We've mentioned this before to you. Phase three, our big initiative here, is working with the area Rotary Clubs throughout the county. I think they're all signed on to do a can-do playground here. So that's a big thing for this park and for this community, really for the county. So this something that fundraising will start in earnest later this fall, and we're hoping by next year we might have enough money to build that. The grant that you all have, we approached you on with the state, with DENREC, for funding the outdoor recreation grant that is intended to help build the restroom for this facility, which will be critical for all the kids and families that will be coming here in the future. Moving on to the western side of the county, Nanuco Crossing Park. You see a good shot of the Nanuco there in our property. Just to the right of the ferry. We have a master plan that we completed a couple of years ago on that, and we are now working to actively implement that. A big hurdle for us was getting approval finally from the Department of the Navy. That took a little while, but the Navy has been an important funder for this project, and we now have their sign-off, so we're ready to implement that. As a first step in that, we're going to be developing trailhead improvements as you pull in. This park, like Hudson Park, is actually being used now by folks. They're in there all the time. So we want to keep that up, put some more signage in there. We've just now begun some engineering work to put in a new kayak launch for the property. So that's going to be a multi-year effort, but we are getting started on that. Ickford Park, and particularly with focus on our Litchford Williams Park, our house. As you guys remember, the Litchford house is that upper White House kind of in the center of the screen, and the Cannamassin House is in the lower left corner, dating back to 1727. We've made good progress on Litchford. We have that. These are some earlier photographs that's effectively been restored now on the interior with exterior work. We need a new roof and a few other things, but we are working to bring this back to a period of interpretation to the 1930s, and we are slowly furnishing that house. And for those of you who joined us when we did a groundbreaking for Cannamassin, you remember the family members were there, and they contributed a few of their items along with a lot of history. So our intent with this is, you know, speaking on agriculture, is to interpret agriculture around 1910, 1925 timeframe. During that period of time, there are a lot of truck farms on this property. A lot of folks don't know what a truck farm is these days, so we're hoping to educate them on that and really give a sense of how life was in this area of the county during that early years of a century ago. A little picture here of our groundbreaking at Cannamassin. This was back in May of last year, and we are now working on the brick, which is a painstaking effort. We have a mason who is well-known regionally for being as much of an artisan as he is. He's a real craftsman, and he does this, as it's his specialty. But we're starting on the foundation, but we're redoing this building from bottom up. Moving now back to the eastern part of the county, to Hopkins Preserve. You all remember this from a few years back. This is the master plan. We are in the last throes of getting our permits for that. This will be what we will be constructing as a first phase. We'll be doing an entrance road and entrance road and parking lot. And then we will also be developing the trail system in here. An important thing with this, in working with county staff, we've expanded the stormwater capability on this property in order to provide for the county to give stormwater credits and to bank that. So it's been in Hans and Todd, you know, just working with your staff to make this serve multiple public functions. So we're excited to get this going. Like I said, we're waiting on SCD to give us a final sign-off on this. We have our bid specs put together, and when we get our permit, we'll put that out to bid. We're hoping to start late fall, getting into the spring, and then to open it ideally in spring of 2025. Moving to the forest of the Brock Hill Preserve. I know some council have been out in this property earlier this year. This was one that council purchased three different parcels. This becomes a almost 300-acre property. It's the biggest one that the land trust will manage, and I think it holds some enormous opportunities for public access and use. We do have a first-phase trail system, which we've constructed with a lot of support from volunteer groups, from Dogfish Head, and other groups have come in to help us build these trails. And we're hoping to provide for public access in the early next year. One of the things we're doing now is putting in information kiosks at all these parcels. We're beginning to brand these operating units and get some amenities in for the public. That's the parcel in its entirety on Shingle Point Road and Gravel Hill Road. It's a big piece of property. Some photos from last year. These roads will soon be back in this condition. We were surprised to see the amount of growth on these roads, which have gravel in them. Didn't expect to have the amount of vegetation on that we did, but we're getting that back into shape as we speak. And so the last thing I want to speak to is the amount of funding that we have that we've been working with. And obviously the council's been a big supporter of us in open space in general. And again, thank you all from that, and thank you on behalf of our board. All this money didn't come to the land trust partnership, but this is per Gina, what's been spent, correct me, Gina, this starting at 2020 and currently. It's over $14 million. So we can't quite keep up with you guys, but we have, you know, tried to do a little bit on our own. And so We're getting now close to $5 million in funding over that roughly same period of time. And that's coming from a collection of different sources. We have individuals and families, local businesses across the board. We even had some HOAs who have kicked in money to us. So we're very pleased with that. And you may have read in the paper that we just, partnering with Dogfish, we were the beneficiary of the DASH this year that they do. And that raised over $100,000 for the land trust and its mission. So a big shout out and thank you to Dogfish and Boston Beer. New projects, Art de Grand Preserve. This one is on the east side. Again, 89 parcels. You've seen some of this before. An 89-acre parcel, an agricultural parcel, which is unique in this area of the county these days, but it's still actively farmed. Some pictures, it borders Ebenezer Branch and Canary Creek, and you see the access road to the small the owner's house on the left. Some views from the property. It's really just a gorgeous property. The silos still stand. To the left of that was the barn. This is a third generation farm family, and their goal has been to keep this protected. They would like to see agriculture continue on this site. They have no heirs. So it's either us or it's going to get, you know, it'll be the next subdivision on New Road. The purchase price for this property is $8.5 million. Right at the moment, we have $3.2 million in hand. Recently, the state added, they upped the ante at their end to $2 million, plus we have $1.2 million that we've raised working with individuals and the local community in the Lewis area. We have another $3.25 pending. Some of that would be from Longwood, and other would be from federal funding. Getting back to agriculture again, excited to report that the Land Trust is now an eligible agency for money coming from NRCS to hold agricultural easements. And that's an annual program where money is available. We're successful in this. This would be the first property going through that with NRCS. That money will allow the Land Trust moving forward to hold agricultural easements throughout the county. And that will, you know, significantly expand our funding capability in working with you and others to hold an easement on the property, to hold easement on agricultural properties. So it leaves us with a $2 million gap to get us over the finish line. Moving now, this is new news. This is a property that has been called the Layfield Tract. This is 165 acres. Just on the outskirts of Dagsboro. The property had appraised for $3.2 million. It is primarily farmland, again, with wooded buffers. In the sense of if we're successful in this being acquired, that the conservation easement would be held by the trust. County would own it, and the land trust would manage it on behalf of the county. Just a couple pictures. If you guys have not seen this, it's, you know, with everything, with the beans in yellow right now, everything looks really pretty. So you're seeing those views there. And that's what we've got. Happy to answer any questions. And Ring, did you want to add anything?
If you want to sell them on Friday, we tend to own it.
Yeah. We're letting, I think there are going to be an announcement that the county will do a little bit later on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're available to answer questions if you got any.
Any questions before I jump down the agenda? Any questions of Mark or Ring? Okay, so thank you both for the presentation, and to jump right to the announcement today, that last track that was referenced there, we're calling the Layfield property right now. We did, in fact, settle on that property this Friday, past Friday. So the county was successful in purchasing 165 acres there just northwest of Dagsboro. It actually goes right to the Dagsboro line off of Route 20. And very happy to be able to say that we purchased that after some significant conversations with the owners. And It's just the latest round of our acquisition, so 165 acres outside of Dagsboro. So there will be a press release that goes out with that announcement. And then for the two actions that we're asking council to consider today, we referenced earlier in the presentation the forest of the Brock Hill Preserve. So that large tract of property southwest of Milton, that property is owned by the county, but will have a conservation easement in the land trust name, and we are going to agree to a property management agreement today. That information was in the packet. This is the same management agreement that we have with Hopkins Preserve, and when the county owns the property and then provides the conservation easement in favor of the land trust, this management agreement acts as the overarching governing agreement for the roles and responsibilities. So the agreement was in the packet. It's a 25-year agreement with a 25-year extension. Shows the responsibility for the development, solicitation of bids, and construction of the agreed-upon improvements to the preserve, including a to-be-developed master plan. Any funding requests will need to be approved in a future county budget. The land trust will serve as a day-to-day manager responsible for long-term maintenance of the facility. We did provide a copy of that agreement. It's been reviewed by the county's attorney and the land trust board and has been approved to form. And again, it's the same agreement we've used in the past. So unless you have any questions on the property management agreement, I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the property management agreement for the property known as the Forest of the Brock Hill and further approves entering into said agreement with the Sussex County Land Trust.
Pleasure, Council.
So
motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second.
Second.
Mr. Riley. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Thank you. The next is our ORPT grant submission resolution for Hudson Park. And for this one, I will turn it over to Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Lawson. As Mr. Chura had said during his presentation, they are working on fundraising for the Hudson Park. So the land trust would like the county to apply for $125,000 Outdoor Recreation Parks Trail Grant, the OPRT grant, through DENREC for the third phase of the Hudson Park project. To apply, the Sussex County Council must adopt a resolution that supports the project and the submission of the grant application. It must also assign a project manager to the project, which will be the Sussex County Land Trust Executive Director. There will be no county funds used in this project. The funds will be state funds that flow through the county to the land trust. And then I have a resolution to read for your consideration.
Please read the resolution.
Be it resolved that the Sussex County Council hereby acknowledges its support of Hudson Park, approves and acknowledges the OPRT application and submission on behalf of Sussex County Land Trust for a 2024 DENREC OPRT grant in the amount of $125,000 and furthermore designates the Sussex County Land Trust Executive Director to serve as the OPRT grant's project manager if the grant is awarded.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second.
Second.
Mr. Schaefer. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Aye, we have motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you all. Thank you to the representatives from the Land Trust and our continued relationship. Excellent presentation. Great update today. Excited about that 165 acres in Dagsboro, another acquisition for our preservation efforts. And it wasn't mentioned before, but the owners of the property did sell the property for over a $550,000 discount for the price appraised. So again, the ownership showing skin in the game, which is always helpful for us when these acquisitions. Thank you both.
Thank you.
County Administrator's Report for October 1st, 2024, Item 1. Per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, the following projects have received substantial completion: the Estuary Phase 4D and the Estuary 4E, effective September 18th. Item 2. Sussex County is excited to have the Delaware Coastal Airport serve as host to the 15th Annual Wings and Wheels Fall Festival, which is set for Friday, October 4th and Saturday, October 5th at the airport just outside Georgetown. Sponsored by the Georgetown Chamber of Commerce, Wings and Wheels has become a mainstay on the Fall Festival circuit here in Sussex County. This year's festivities begin with a Friday night beach party full of food and fun and music from 6 to 10 p.m., with proceeds from tickets benefiting the Pathways to Aviation program. The main event is Saturday, beginning at 10 a.m. and lasting through 4 p.m., with attractions of new and classic cars on display and an array of aircraft on the ground and in the sky above. There will be demonstrations, including a World War II reenactment, parachute jumps, and the fan-favorite flower bombing competition, as well as music, food trucks, and much more. Tickets are required for Friday night's beach party. All other activities on Saturday are free. For more information, including to purchase beach party tickets and a complete schedule of the events, visit www.wings-wheels.com. Item three, it's with great sadness that we inform you that pensioner Frances Susie passed away on Thursday, September 19th, 2024. Miss Susie began her career with Sussex County in October 2006, where she worked until June 2020 for a total of 13 years. Her last position with the county was Library Assistant 2. We'd like to extend our condolences to the Susie family. Item four, reminder, the council will not meet on Tuesday, October 8th. The next regularly scheduled council meeting will be held on Tuesday, October 15th at 10 a.m. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mark Parker. Government Station 103, Project C21-18.
Good afternoon, council members. And you nailed it. I'm back again with our Paramedic Station 103 project. Change order number three. And project continues to move forward fairly well. I would say we're probably about 65-70% done in terms of construction progression, so all's going well. Past two change orders, we've been tracking a couple of additional items that represent changes to the project scope. Pretty typical fare. Some are owner-driven, and other are a result of contractor request. So the individual items are summarized in your packet. They're noted with either a change credit or a charge. But if it's okay for the record, I'd like to read the individual items contained in the change order. Addition of a level spreader along the north edge of a driveway, that was from owner direction. That's a charge of $5,200. Deletion of a 6-foot white vinyl fence and some sod, and the addition of large river rock in the same area. That results in a credit of $670. Addition of junction boxes and raceways for the garage door status lights. That was from our EMS team, so that's owner direction. Charge of $216.42. An ADA shower replacement at the owner direction. That's the charge of $3,463. And the last one, flooring adhesive change in the ADA bathroom. And that was a charge of $370. Overhead and profit gets added on our change orders for $857.94. A couple of the larger items I just want to make a note on. The one with the ADA shower change, that was that came to us as a result of a failed plumbing inspection from the state plumber as a result of the threshold of the shower not meeting requirements. So we went back and reviewed the shop drawing process, and I would say in addition to county staff, we've identified some culpability on behalf of the contractor as well as our design consultant. So the final funding or the final pricing will reflect a cost sharing of this item by both of those entities. The level spreader item we added, we were exhibiting some erosion, significant erosion off a pavement edge, and it was right in advance of our stormwater pond, which is an infiltration facility. So that was a critical area for us, and we felt that an infiltration trench or level spreader will be the way to go. So that's that will be installed pending approval of the change order. All the items result in a net increase in the contract amount of $9,437.36. There's also a total of 61 calendar days being added to the project, which does sound like a significant amount on paper. Some of the time is attributable to change order two, that was not previously captured. And I do want to say, despite the 61 days, we should still be on schedule for a February delivery of the building, which was the original intent. So we should be okay with that. So unless there's any questions, I will read a motion for approval.
Please read your motion.
Based upon the recommendations of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that County Council approve change order number three in the net charge amount of $9,437.36, increasing the total contract amount to $1,828,504.56.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Ms. Jennings, grant request.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first request is Developing Artists Collaboration is requesting $5,000 for their West Rehoboth Wall restoration. Last grant received for this organization was the amount of $500 for their creative market for Mr. Schaefer. Mr. Schaefer placed on the agenda.
Mr. Schaefer.
I will offer $1,000 from the third district account.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson to grant $1,000 on District 3 Council Mac account.
I'll add a little bit to that, too.
Sure. How much you want to add? $10,000?
Well, what was the request?
$5,000.
I'll do $1,000.
Okay. So now then, we've got a motion, Mr. Schaefer, second, Mrs. Green, to grant $2,000, being $1,000 District 3 Council Mac account, $1,000 District 2 Council Mac account, to a Developing Artist Collaboration for the West Rehoboth Wall Restoration. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will be the motion carried. Next.
And next one is Seaford Music and Education Institute is requesting $6,000 for their affordable music lessons. There are no previous grants to this organization, and Mr. Vincent placed on the agenda.
So I make a motion to grant $2,000 to District 1.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson to grant $2,000 to District 1 Council Mac account to the Seaford Music and Education Institute for affordable music lessons. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, and the last one is American Legion Post 8 is requesting $2,000 for their Georgetown EMS Return Day coverage. Last grant received was $375 for the Flags for Veterans program for Mr. Riley, and Mr. Riley placed on the agenda.
Mr. Riley.
I'd like to grant $2,000 from my account for the American Legion.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson to grant $2,000 from District 5 Council Mag account to the American Legion Post 8 Incorporated for Georgetown EMS Return Day coverage. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Introduction proposed zoning ordinances. Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have three. The first one is in Mr. Schaefer's district. An ordinance grant of conditional use of land in a GR General Residential District for multifamily dwellings, 5 units, to be located on certain parcels of land lying in being Lewis Rehoboth, Sussex County, containing 0.45 acres, more or less.
I will introduce
Mr. Schaefer, introduce it.
The next one is also in Mr. Schaefer's district, an ordinance grant of conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an amendment of condition D for conditional use number 2264, ordinance number 2813, relating to the permitted days and hours of operation for a professional office to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 0.68 acre, more or less. Mr. Schaefer.
Mr. Schaefer introduces it.
And the last one is in Mr. Hudson's district, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR General Residential District for a commercial hauling goods and materials delivery services and driveway installation of a business together with storage of vehicles, equipment, and materials to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 2.31 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce
it. Hudson introduces it.
That is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Council member comments. Council member comments.
I have a couple.
Mr. Riley.
First of all, I'd like to, probably should have said it while the land trust was presenting, but just want to say that's been one of the more gratifying parts of this position that I hold, is to work with the land trust. And I really feel that they're doing a lot of good that will be enjoyed for generations. And it's been a pleasure to work with the board. I feel that there's a very strong board in place right now. You could see from the pace of purchases over the last few years that it's really kind of kicked up into a higher gear. And we're seeing some really good things. And so it's been a pleasure to work with them. The other question I have is really for our administrator. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that, you know, there's some updates we'd like to do on ordinances, and just wondering if there's any news, anything that we can look forward to soon coming on, you know, improving some of our ordinances.
Yes, at the last meeting, when it was mentioned for us to go back and look at the list of council priorities, I met with Director Whitehouse and our attorneys and identified two proposed ordinances that we will bring back for introduction and consideration at the next council meeting, which is in 2 weeks. The first one is to better define the terminology related to open space, and the second ordinance is related to the conditions of consideration in Chapter 99-9C. So those two separate ordinances are things we talked about at the development design workshop. We think we can do them in the time period allotted and introduce and have the public hearings by the end of the year. So,
I think it's important to keep that ball moving forward, and so good. I'm glad to hear that.
Any more council member comments?
Yeah, I'd like to say,
Schaefer.
I want to just pick up on what Mr. Riley said and thank the Land Trust for all they do. You know, we unfortunately hear a lot of negative comments in the community from some individuals that arrive here and find easy ways to criticize Sussex County Council. And I just want to say I'm proud to live here. I think this is a wonderful place to live and raise my family. And I'm going to stay here, and my family will stay here. And the Land Trust is part of that fabric of just the wonderful things that we do. And Mark Chur does the Lord's work every day. And we have Ring Louder, who volunteers his time. I mean, volunteers. And I can't even tell you how many hours that guy puts in as a volunteer. And I just want to thank the Land Trust. I'm proud to be a part of it, and I'm proud to be a Sussex Countyan. And I'm proud of the work we've done preserving land in Sussex County. And this entire council gets credit for that.
Any more comments from council? Comments from council? I do have one thing. This is for Mr. Lawson and Mrs. Jennings. I would like to recommend that you two get started on, ready to go to Dover in January, and add to the what you can utilize RTT for, a farmland preservation.
Okay.
We don't do enough of that, I don't think, because we have a lack of money. And that can be added to that, I feel, pretty easily. I would suggest that you would be gracious enough to do that.
Yes, sir.
Good idea.
Great. Entertain a motion to go to executive session for land acquisition.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson. Second.
Second.
Mr. Riley. Questions on a motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will get the motion to carry out executive session downstairs for land acquisition.